2FM Mornings
with Laura Fox
Podcast.
Sponsored by Maxall. From kids' lunches to tonight's dinner, you'll find bags more to get you through the week at Maxall.
Now, I mentioned it a little bit earlier on, but Australians James Fernandez McCabe was a name that a load of us had never heard of until this week when he qualified to play Wimbledon. The story of how his Irish dad used YouTube to coach him has spread fast, and it has got us thinking, who are the most interesting homegrown sporting heroes out there? Well, Game On's Shane Dawson is back in studio right now. That was just like such a huge achievement, Shane.
Yeah, no, he came up through the qualifying ranks, and we've had a lot of shocks in Wimbledon this week already. A lot of high-ranked seeds bowing out early doors. But yeah, James Fernandez McCabe. So he is Australian, to be fair, but we can claim him.
No, we can. Claim him. We can fully claim him.
We absolutely can claim him. Yeah. So his father is Irish. Now, the match itself, he lost in his debut at Wimbledon earlier on this week. He's only 21. He's beaten in straight sets by his Hungarian opponent. But he said during the week that it was just a dream come true to playing at Wimbledon, and it is such a prestigious tournament. I know there's the Roland Garros and the US Open and everything else, but Wimbledon
Wimbledon's it.
It does have its, even for all the superstars and all your music stars and, you know, people that will be on your radar a bit more.
Well, it's the audience, which kind of lures me in an awful lot, but it's something I think that has been in everybody's life always. You know, when we were younger, you'd be making tennis rackets out of absolutely nothing. You'd be trying to use your hurls and whatnot. Like, everyone around the world knows Wimbledon, so to even get to play on one of those courts is just such a huge achievement.
No, it absolutely is. So James's father, Patrick McCabe, he's originally from Greenhills and Walkinshamn in Dublin. 1997, when he was only 22, he moved over to Australia with his brother. He married James' mother, Irene, who's from the Philippines. So yeah, you mentioned, now tennis lessons can be expensive, and it's a very hard sport to succeed at the top level, and James Fernandez McCabe is forging a career, I suppose, and it's great to see him playing in these tournaments. But Mr. McCabe's father, or James's father, I should say, Mr. McCabe, has admitted that they were just, and he's quoted, really, 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 really expensive. So he also taught his son to swim, and he became a national champion in both swimming and tennis. So
that's
multi-talented.
Like, when it's in the blood, like, you know, when you're talented, you're just talented. You can be molded that way, even if it's from a couple of YouTube videos. And I'm not saying that lightly.
That's becoming though the trend, isn't it? YouTube, you can like learn acting on YouTube these days.
You can, but like, and tennis in general has a big history of parents and coaches, you know, being both of, like, being a parent and a coach.
A lot more than other sports.
So what one's your favourite?
Well, the most well known and well documented across the board, and not just from a sporting perspective, I think everyone knows about the Williams sisters. So Serena and Venus, coached by Richard Williams. There was even a film made about it.
That was such a brilliant movie, King Richard.
21. So that kind of dramatises their journey. And now, there's good and bad sides to it. I know Serena has been quoted of saying that her dad prepared me to be ready, to be tough, to take criticism, to survive. And Richard is perhaps an outlier, that it's not just getting YouTube recommendations, anything like that, that he wrote a 78-page plan for their careers before they were born, and he knew that this was going to happen, and he really manifested it almost. But that can lead to an obsessive side of it, and there's other stories you might get to where it's not always positive. It can be negative that you're trying to drive such a young person to succeed as a professional sports athlete.
Well, if you even look at that there, he wrote that 78 page document before they were even born, so they didn't have a choice whether they were interested in it or not.
Now, I know that brings the argument of they grew up in that, and it's nature over nurture, that they were in that environment of perhaps they did like tennis. Obviously they succeeded and they got brilliant careers out of it, and they were absolutely fantastic, both fantastic athletes at their sport. But you mentioned they didn't have other choices. And there's a lot of Olympic sports and a lot of teams that will just, you grow up in that environment. Random one of there's like a goalkeeper training camp in Poland that you kind of go off for your summer, and you go off into the woods, and it's your summer. You just become a goalkeeper in like, was it Szczesny, Lukasz Zaluska. A lot of players that came through the ranks, Fabianski, came from that. So it's very immersive in that regard. But tennis does have a lot. We mentioned Williams sisters, Andy Murray, his brother Jamie Murray, was coached by Judy Murray. Now, Judy was a former player and a highly qualified coach, so she was able to coach Andy from a young age. So that is passing on your expertise to your children. And Judy's widely credited with developing Andy's technical foundation, mental resilience. So there's a lot more positive aspects to that. Now, Andy has said it was difficult being the coach's son, which is, you know, yeah. You don't want your mom, you know, your mom or dad bringing you down to train and stuff. It's like, oh no, drop me around the corner. But it's full on when they're there 24/7.
But it's like if your mom or dad is a teacher and, you know, like yeah. I went to school with like a couple of people whose parents were our teachers, and it was really funny if they slipped up by accident and said, dad or Matt, you know what I mean? Yeah, so like doing that in a coaching environment, you just don't want it to happen. The only thing about tennis is it's kind of more so one-on-one a lot of the time.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Yeah, yeah, you wouldn't. Yeah, it's not a team sport. Maria Sharapova is another actually good example that you want to mention, because Yuri Sharapova took 7-year-old Maria from Russia to Florida with only $700 to train at the Bollettieri Academy. And that is like the creme de la creme of Andre Agassi, Boris Becker, and the Williams sisters were there as well. So that kind of segued in with Richard Williams, their father. So again, there can be, like for Maria's example in particular, her mother couldn't join the visa issues. So, you know, there's that, you know, being separated.
Yeah, and from your parent.
That you're being devoted to that one sport from a very young age, which can be good because you're getting a career. But there's also a lot of other people that aren't known.
Yeah.
And they put in the hard yards when they're young in the academy systems and all that, but they didn't eventually make it. So it certainly has its ups and downs in that regard, particularly for tennis, because as you mentioned, it's not a team sport. So there is a bit of isolation in that regard.
Shane, what about Irish sports people that were home coached, kind of?
Well, the most famous example, I say, is Katie Taylor, arguably Ireland's greatest ever. Sports person he'll be fighting again soon enough, actually. Yeah. So Katie's father, Pete, again, similar to, say, Judy Murray, Andy Murray, Pete was a former boxer and he is a boxing coach. So it's not just a case of your dad coming down to cheer you on and said, just swing hard there and you'll be fine. And he was Katie's primary coach during her amateur career, including her gold medal winning performance in the London Olympics. Now, she did later transition to professional boxing. Obviously, it's well documented and has worked with other trainers, which is just a natural progression. You want to get the best coaching in from overseas and anywhere else, and you want to have the best minds advising you. So even though there was a transition, Pete did remain a significant figure both in her life, her boxing career. Now, they did split prior to the Rio Olympics. There was personal issues. The relationship broke down following the end of Pete's marriage to Katie's mother as well. And that's been well documented. So there was a high profile fallout, and that's addressed in Katie's documentary. And again, I know we're plugging films and documentaries.
No, I know, but they work.
Now, they have since reconciled somewhat. But yeah, it can strain the relationship when you have the personal and professional in anything. If you're working with someone and you have a relationship in any regard, that can be ups and downs. And, you know, I suppose it's... magnified when it's family, particularly if it's a son, a daughter, a dad as well in that regard. Just other kind of examples as well, we talk about not necessarily being coached but having the influence. Evan Ferguson, one of Ireland's bright stars in football. Now, it was a bit of a tough time at the moment at the end of last season, but Evan's dad Barry would have played in England before returning to Ireland. Really, really great guy, really leveled, grounded guy, knows his stuff. And not necessarily a coach, but a massive, massive positive influence. Because a lot of young footballers can go off the rails. They're advised or ill-advised by agents. Whereas Barry, really good guy, and kind of kept Evan grounded. And hopefully that will continue as well. So Barry had a bit of a career in the League of Ireland, cut short due to a hip injury. But again, just that influence is really important for someone who's played in England and Ireland. Okay, granted, Barry won't mind me saying not at the highest of levels, where Evan might get to, or fair to say already has gotten to higher levels, but to have that influence. Sophie O'Sullivan and Sonia O'Sullivan. Sonia, again, one of Ireland's greatest athletes. Sonia herself made the point that she's there to offer guidance, support, but recognises Sophie's independence and input from others and coaches, and she wants her to forge her own path. It doesn't have to be
hers.
It's hard to break away. Anyone that sees Sophie O'Sullivan, even they look similar, they run similar, to say, right, you have to emulate your mom. You have to emulate one of the greatest athletes that Ireland has produced. So there's that unnecessary or unwanted pressure, perhaps. So Sonia has taken a little bit of a step off, given the fact that you're the daughter of an Olympic medalist.
And, I know.
You know, whether you're running in a worldwide event or you're running the community games in Mosny or whatever it is, you're going to have that pressure and that expectation. So it's important to find that balance. I think that's what Sonia's
And I think Sonia's nailed it. Like, I worked with Sonia for Ireland's Fittest Family for 2 years. And like that, you know, like all of these races would have been falling kind of at the same time. She would have been on calls and stuff. But it was very much like, this is Sophie's life. And yeah. she's doing a fantastic job of it.
Yeah.
You know, we've touched a lot on so far about like coaching done right. You know, coaching done fantastic with the like money aspect of things and kind of keeping yourself level headed. But sometimes things can go a little bit too far. Tiger Woods must be the most famous of them all out of this.
Yeah, very much so. So Tiger was coached by Earl Woods, as many people would know. So Earl's former Green Beret, started Tiger on golf at age 2. So you're picking up a golf club at age 2. Yeah. And predicted startup. So similar to the Williams and writing that, the 78-page document, this was very much, you are going to be good. Now listen, he is perhaps the greatest, one of the greatest golfers that has ever graced this earth. So Earl was both a mentor and a mental coach as well. So yes, instilled kind of that unshakable focus and belief and that drive and that real grit and determination that we would have seen when Tiger was playing at the top level. However, again, the negative aspect of that, it can borderline on obsession. And Tiger later said he was emotionally guarded, partly due to his upbringing. So it's important to let children develop emotionally and for them to create their own circles, their friends. And I know, again, golf, tennis, they're perhaps they're the outlier, they're not a team sport, but you still have a group of people that you can trust and your inner circle as well. But a lot of that was dictated by his father. So yes, you can have really driven and you can be set, but you don't want to be blinkered, I think, is the big thing. And perhaps you have to be blinkered if you want to get to be the best of the best and to rise to that level and to be known worldwide in your sport as the greatest, or in that conversation perhaps you do, but it's that balance. And a lot of people, and you see it as well, even just on local sports, you don't even have to get to the top level, but you go down to your local park and there's signs now, they even have to have campaigns about no abusing the referees in under 12, under 13 football match or GAA match or hockey match, whatever the match is, because of parents that are stepping over the line a bit. So you do kind of have to find that balance, be it at the top level of sport or even at with young children that won't make it to the top level but still play. Me, perhaps. Yeah. I was never going to make it at the top level.
Look,
but I was
now
still supportive. But I was still, I can talk about it and say, but you do, you have to find that. Like, I play Gaelic football and association football growing up, and like, I thank my mom for dropping me to everything. I knew I was never going to make it professionally or at the top level, but you still play and you still have that support network around. And I wouldn't be able to play at that young age without the support of my mom. So these people wouldn't be able to progress to their careers without the support of their parents that just so happens to be their coaches. And
that's a fine line as well of like parenting your child and coaching your child. You have to be able to find that balance of, you know, stopping coaching and turning into a nurturing, loving parent, which can be really hard if you're like disciplined in every aspect of their life.
Yeah.
Let's talk about basketball, because LeBron James' son plays in the NBA now. But who are the other basketballers that you're interested in on this one?
Yeah, so again, probably the most well-known, Luka Doncic was coached by Sasa Doncic. So again, father, former pro player, former coach. So again, coming from that aspect. But it's really interesting. There's a couple of football stories. Luka Modric as well, in particular, kind of taken from a war-torn region. Not parent coach per se, but his father's resilience and sacrifices were instrumental in forging his career. So Luka's dad helped him develop early in Slovenia. But again, the relationship became a bit strained and they weren't close when Luka had his rise in the NBA at the top level. So this is probably more negative than positive when the others, like KD and Pete, reconciled and whoever else. But when you're going from being brought up in whatever country you're being brought up in and being nurtured there and trained there, but then when you get to the big level, you don't have that network anymore. Yeah. And then you don't have the relationship with, in this case, his father or whoever in that family, be it brother, sister, aunt, uncle, whoever is to have that influence. Kobe Bryant was coached by Joe Jellybean Bryant, the famous Jellybean Bryant. So again, credits the professionalism, global perspective. He spent a lot of his childhood in Italy. That's where Joe's career was there. So you can have those influences of, I mean, Kobe's fluent in Italian, developed that European style skill set that benefited him as well. So yeah, no, it's across the board. But it, even as well, you watch Drive to Survive?
No. And sorry, I won't do it because Brian likes it too much, and then you can't give him an inch because he'll take a mile. And I know that I'll love it. I know that I will.
Well, one of the main characters basically I know all the drivers and the constructors, but Max Verstappen's
dad. I knew you were
going
to say Max Verstappen.
But it is his dad. And yeah. again, he's a main central character. And he's not even in it. He's now, granted, he had his own career. Yeah. But again, he's very, very influential in Max Verstappen at the moment.
Well, so. Let's talk about Formula One so for a second. Because, like, what are the differences between, let's say, Max Verstappen and the likes of Lewis Hamilton's paths to Formula One?
Yeah, well, so Lewis's dad, Anthony, he kind of worked multiple jobs to fund his karting. He coached him on and off the track. The relationship, again, has had ups and downs, but that was real sacrificial to ensure that Lewis had everything that he had. Yeah. So he came from a different background that it was very selfless in that regard. Whereas Max was, like, Max was groomed kind of by his father from a young age to be the next Joss Verstappen, okay. basically. So it's like, you are going to be me, and that's why he's a presence around in the pit lane, and he's kind of always there when perhaps that mightn't be the greatest thing. Now again, Sophie Sonia example with the O'Sullivans, she can pick up the phone and be like, Sonia, can you give me a little bit of advice on X, Y, and Z? Whereas she kind of has that bit of hands off, whereas Josh is a bit more all-consuming, all-on, like, he put his son into the ground very early, which again did benefit him, because that's why we're talking about Max Verstappen, and he is a multiple world champion because of that. But it can be mentally tough, and okay, yes, it's turned Max into that hard racer, never say never attitude, but it's just that personal relationship that is not always ideal.
Yeah.
So it's grand. You want to be rootless. Maybe I just don't have that rootless bone in me, Laura, that I just, like, you don't have that drive. Don't have
to
that professional drive.
That's kind of all right as well. Finally, because there's so much in this, but who are the Norwegian family group that it all went very sour for, Shane?
The Ingebrigtsens. Yeah. So the father of Jakob Ingebrigtsen, probably ending on a bit of a dour note, but he was actually recently enough as well given a 15-day suspended sentence after being found guilty of hitting the double Olympic champion's younger sister Ingrid in the face with a wet towel. Now that's all documented in court, that's out there. Gert Ingebrigtsen, who coached Jakob to 1500 metre gold at the Tokyo Games in 2021, split a year later. Now he was acquitted of charges relating to physical and verbal abuse against Jakob. It came from a court in Norway, found there was reasonable doubt about the vast majority of the accusations. Some of family members did side with Gert, so it's important just to note that.
Yeah.
But again, to have that figurehead as your coach, and you can only imagine then what it's like growing up in the demands that are placing you from such a young age. And I think demands is the most important word from that yes, you can have guidance, you can have professionalism and advice, but the demands that are placed on a young person. Now, granted, a lot of young people might say, no, I want to do this. I want to get up, or swimmers, I want to get up at 5 a.m, 5 days a week. I remember going to school many years ago with someone who kind of did that, and he's like, no, I enjoy it.
Yeah.
And he kind of said, I'm not going to be a professional swimmer, but I like that routine. I get up and do that. So some people might like that and want to do that, and that's absolutely fine. But I think it's just, you have to be careful and find that balance in the demands of someone, and also letting them grow up and letting them be happy and letting them flourish and letting them become the person who they want to be and who they can be. That you can't just be a Josh Verstappen if you're Max, that you can be your own person. You can be a Sophie, you can be a Sonia O'Sullivan. So it's a balance, and it's about demands.
So many examples in there, Shane. Thank you so much for that. Shane Dawson and the Game On crew are on air weeknights from 6 p.m.
2FM Mornings
with Laura Fox
Podcast,
sponsored by Maxall. From kids' lunches to tonight's dinner, you'll find bags more to get you through the week at Maxall.